praise you, Lord. Father, Lord, we thank you, we exalt you. Say the entrance of your word gives light, gives life. Bring forth your word to us this day, like you broke it beside the sea. Let them reach our hearts. Blessings both to the speaker and to the hearer. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, O Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. The title of my discussion will be a very short one, by God's grace. The Covenant of Salt. The Covenant of Salt. Interesting title, huh? You say salt? Yeah. I'm going to ask you some questions as we get going. How many of us know that a lot of nutritionists and all that doctors say we shouldn't take salt? How many of us know that? Bad for this, bad for that. Is that true? Yeah. Any nutritionist here? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Is that true? Yeah. Huh? Salt. Yeah. Right. Right, sweetheart? Yeah. Salt, bad stuff, huh? Bad stuff. Don't mess with that stuff, huh? My topic of discussion today, the covenant of salt. You will get something from this body, soul, and spirit today if you open your heart and your mind. Praise the Lord. True science is not in opposition to the Word, because the Word was in the beginning. Can somebody say amen? True science will not be at loggerheads with the Word of God. In the process of us going through the Bible, the Sunday school class, I ran into a scripture which I'm going to read. But as a prelude, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. God commands Moses, say, "And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt." So every offering should be seasoned with salt. Mark 9:49. Jesus, our Creator, goes to tell us the same thing. He confirms what he told them in the Old Testament. Said, "Every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." Jesus turns to the Levites. Numbers 18:19. He tells them the same thing. Verse 19. "All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by a statute forever." It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. How come then we are hearing the opposite thing today, that we shouldn't partake of salt? I'll leave it there for a second and we'll come and address that topic. As we're going through the scriptures, as a prelude, let's read a few scriptures as a prelude so that those of our younger folks who are here would see where this storyline comes from, in which I'm going to read. Let's start 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11 I'm just going to read a few, just bring us to date. 1 Kings 11. One through four. Solomon was David's son. Everybody know? David's son. He did a few things and that the Lord didn't approve of. Verse 1 through 4. But the king Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, and on and on. Verse 2. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clave to these in love. Verse 4. So when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not perfect before the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father. Verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and commanded him to consign these things, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Verse 12. So the Lord now punished. He gave a pronouncement of judgment against Solomon. Those of us who are passive remember that story. And the kingdom was divided. Verse 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commandments and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it. Listen to this. Say, in thy days I will not do it. Why? For David, my father's sake. But I will rend it out of the hand of your son. Throughout the scripture, we see the Lord say, David, a man after God's own heart. And his kingdom still stands. He said, and way through New Jerusalem, when the Lord sits on the throne of David. Amen. Anybody with me? It looks like he had a special liking for this guy called David. Let's go. So for David's sake, some of us, we inherit the blessings because sometimes your father was a man of faith, a man of faith. And you do certain things and the Lord says, wow, because of your father, this will happen. That's what happened to David. Praise the Lord. So the kingdom got divided. When Solomon died, Rehoboam took over as the son. Solomon tried to kill Jeroboam. He ran away to Egypt and stuff like that. And what happened? The kingdom got divided and Jeroboam in chapter 11, 28, let's see, 28 through 40. A guy by the name of Ahijah, prophet, came up to Jeroboam and said, hey, new garment is split into 12 parts. He said, hey, Jeroboam, who was like a lieutenant to Solomon, he said, you're going to rule. 10 kingdoms are yours and one will belong to Rehoboam. By a covenant. Now let's look at first. So the kingdom, 10 kingdoms went to Solomon's servant by the name of Jeroboam, and one kingdom, the tribe of Judah, was spared. Why? Because of David. And up to date, we have what we call Judaism. Right? Now let's look at First Chronicles. For the sake of time, just read verse chapter 11 and 12, and you see this storyline. So go to 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5. This is where I'm going. Now the 10 tribes were fighting a war with Judah. They were not loggerhead. The kingdom was divided. Now let's see. 2 Chronicles chapter 13 verse 1. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, began Ahijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was this. And Abijah, who ruled in Judah, set battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set battle in array against him with 8,000. So there was a ratio of 2-1. Israel and Judah were now at war. And listen to what Ahijah said. Verse 4. And Ahijah stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, "Hear me thou, Jeroboam." Now he's talking to Jeroboam, who ruled the rest of the 10 tribes. And all Israel. Jeroboam was a wicked ruler. In fact, if we took the time to read what the Lord said to this guy, he could have taken over everything and ruled. And the Lord would have told him that he would have set him up just like David. For brevity of time, I'm not reading that. But if you want to see, it's in 11 and 12, the first Kings. Chapter 11 and 12, you see it there. Verse 5. This is Abijah. Now verse 4 says, "And Abijah stood upon Mount Ephraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, 'Hear me thou, Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even unto him and his sons, by a covenant of salt?'" While we're going through our Bible story, it's a covenant of salt. And here is science telling us we should stay away from salt and everything the scripture says to be seasoned with salt. We also see in Job chapter 6, verse 6. It says, "Can thou eat anything unsavory without salt?" So this first step going through my head. Man says don't do this, God says do this. Where is the missing gap? What is going on here? First, let's go through some salt, some spiritual symbolisms, and then we'll come back to the question. In historical times, salt is considered in so many ways. It's used to heal scars between foes. So say myself and Brother Shola got into a schism. If we settle our schism, he may come to my house, or I go to his house with a little tray of salt. He licks it a little bit and I lick it everywhere. And was a sign that the score is settled. And it's also used in old times as a bond of alliance between people. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. These are spiritual symbolisms. And we go on to in some other cultures. Among some of the African tribes, what is salt used for sometimes? When a new baby is born, one of the ingredients they put is what? Salt. Mama, am I correct? They take the piece, little grain of salt, lick it, and put it in child's mouth. They put honey also. Why? Praise the Lord. Salt is pure. You can leave salt thousands of years. It does not lose nothing. That's what you and I, as believers, are supposed to be. We are in this world, but not of this world. Can someone say praise the Lord? Ye are the salt of the earth. Praise the Lord. Salt makes stuff we eat taste better. Just a little dash
us as believers, as Christians, everywhere we go, we should make things better. Praise ye the Lord. Too much to the left, too much to the right, it becomes, I don't want any part of what you're talking about. Praise ye the Lord. Just a little dash. I will pick up the curiosity of folks around us. What is it about Gloria? I want to know who she serves. I want to know what, and gives an opportunity for her to testify about Jesus. Praise ye the Lord. Because she has become a dash of salt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are spiritual symbolisms. When children are born, brand new babies, what do you think they do? In the African culture, some of the cultures around the world, they take salt raw on the baby's body to kill the germs. You and I are supposed to be just that to the world. In the world, but not of the world. Don't follow the crowd. The crowd, the majority, is not the case. You don't follow the way. Eagles fly alone. Hawks, there is no we. Each man shall stand and give an account of his stewardship. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. The salvation is an individual call. It's an individual call. If you will hear his voice, say, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Praise ye the Lord. It's a call to you. And you and I are called to be pure. Salt doesn't change under pressure. It remains the same. Do you know that? It remains the same. You and I, you say you want to know the strength of a man, his belief system. Check him out. Which way he turns under pressure. Where would you turn when you are under pressure? Will you run out? Or will you run to Jesus? Will you get out of the boat or run to Jesus? Praise ye the Lord. This. Salt, some of them is mined and they are under a lot of pressure. This is just spiritual symbols. Symbols for us. There's one thing that changes the crystalline nature of salt. It's when it reacts with other chemicals. Amen? Those of you that a lot of science talk, when NaCl plus this and this and the whole thing starts changing. Right? But you and I as believers, no matter where we go, we should hold our ground. Hold our belief system. You can't be wishy-washy. Call a spade a spade. The truth will always remain the truth.
Yes. Yes.
No matter what. Whether you're in India, whether you're in China, Africa. Somebody say, oh, we're in America now. This is America. Don't tell me that. Oh yeah? The word of God doesn't change. Whether you're in China, whether you're in Africa. Right, Baba? He agrees with me. It doesn't change. The word remains the same. Jesus never changes. I'm trying to encourage those of us that are aliens in this nation. Don't you change who you are in Christ Jesus. Let the men be the men and let the ladies be women. Let your faith stand strong for Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Look. You can be pulled to the left of it. There are so many things here in the U.S. that can distract us. Can someone say amen?
Yes.
So many things.
Yes.
But you have to hold the fault. Say, I've known who I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've entrusted into him. Can somebody say hallelujah? Don't let the world, and I tell you young folks too, peer pressure. Hebrews 11:25. It talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. How many of you know that sin is pleasurable? Come and talk to me, somebody. Don't lie. Let's not lie to one another. It's pleasurable. But boy, it stings like an adder down the road. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Hold on. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to eternal life. Young men, young women, don't you get pulled to left or to right. Say, oh, my boyfriend, oh, you know what? I didn't know. You all know, you knew.
Right.
Just say no. I'm accountable. I'm accountable to no other than he that has called me, Christ Jesus. Joseph had an opportunity to have more than a one-night stand with Potiphar's wife. How many of us know that? Huh?
Yes, yes.
I said, whoa, me? I can't sin against my God. Say, if I do this, he ran away, landed him in jail. But it brought him closer to his destiny.
Amen.
Can somebody say
amen?
When we have no salt in our lives, definitely leads to death. Salt, just like the rainbow, is a symbol of God in your life and my life. There's hardly any food we eat. Hardly any food we eat in its natural state has salt. Sometimes the way we cook it kills all the salt in it and becomes tasteless. That's another subject for discussion. And those that do not have salt, say like, let's read that Job 6:6. Let's read it together, because that's one scripture that talks about us. Job 6:6. Say, are you there? Say, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? How many would like to eat egg with no dash of salt in it? It's tasteless. I mean, some people will. But man, I like a little dash of salt in it. Praise ye the Lord. Salt when there's a famine for salt, in prehistoric times, in the medieval days in Europe, famine for salt caused a whole civilization to disintegrate. It was reported the glacial ice melted and all the ice flats disappeared. Salt flats disappeared, and there was salt rationing. People went crazy, mad, and to the intent that, they started killing one another. That's where this vampire stuff came out of. Slit somebody's throat and tried to suck blood because they're cringing for salt. If your life and my life without Jesus is certainly death.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It's an enduring meaning. Salt, natural salt, dissolves in water. Water symbolizes people. Though you may live in the world, you shouldn't change because brother X, sister Y, or big uncle said, or big auntie said, this and that. It is, you go by the word. Praise ye the Lord. Say, search the Holy Scriptures. In it, you have eternal life. Praise the Lord. Now, we've talked a little bit, trying to make this very short, so that we can get on with my dear brother. Has a wonderful testimony he wants to share with us today. Even under extreme heat, pressure, salt retains itself. Now, Paul writes to Timothy. He says, as a good servant of Christ, he says, endure, as a good soldier, endure hardness. We shouldn't be bambi-bambi Christians. Sometimes the going will get tough. Sometimes we go tough. You say, why me, why me? But hold on. The night will not last forever. Weeping may endure for the night, but there's a new day coming. There's a brighter day coming. Your future is as bright as the noonday sun. Why? Because Christ said so. He said it is finished. When Christ was at the cross, he himself was thirsty. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He told them, he said, I thirst. Why was he thirsty? He'd gone through so much for you and for me. And when man turned around, instead of giving water to cool his thirst, they gave him vinegar to even make things worse. That's what you and I do to the Christ at the cross. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Death couldn't hold him down. He said, pull this body down. The third day, I will rise again. And in rising again, let captivity captive. Because of his death, you and I are seated here. Because of the thirst, you and I do not have to thirst again. Praise ye the Lord. The woman at the well, John, he said, woo! I think chapter 8. He said, come on, give me of this water that I thirst. No, I don't have to come here anymore. He said, I am that water that a man may drink and never thirst again. Hallelujah. The only thing that ruins the salt is this chemical reaction when we go mingle. Just like Solomon, he did disobeying the word. And it caused him to lose the kingdom. But because of the covenant of salt, it's because of David, your father, I'm not going to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you and I have a salt covenant with our God. And he's not going to disappoint you. He is not going to let you down. Hold on. Victory is just around the corner. Most people do not know how close they are to the promised land. Just hold on. Hold on. A little longer. It's around the corner.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Salt and our health, part B. The salts that you and I consume today, absolutely, the scientists have a right to tell you and I, don't eat that stuff. Because what the Lord was talking about here is salt as a habit. Then, sea salt. Is somebody with me? I said sea salt. Sea salt, but I'm talking, contains 92 trace elements. Basically, good stuff, vitamins, nutrients for your body and my body. But you know, this world that we live in today is so driven by what? Money. You know what they did? How many of us remember? I'm going to date some of us way back. How many of us remember 50s, 60s, when you go to local markets in Nigeria? I grew up in Nigeria, so that's my where I could relate to that. You go to buy salt. That salt isn't what we have today. That salt is moist. Am I correct? When you buy, they put in a little can. It's kind of grayish. It's not pure crystalline. It has some moist in it. That is sea salt. What the world, what the devil, because of money, has done to you and I today, they have taken all those nutrients out of it. They say, oh, no, this thing doesn't pop properly. So they dehydrate it. All the good stuff in it is taken out. And they pour that salt, it's very creamy. It looks good. The same thing they do to the bread you and I eat. So they take that good stuff, the iodine, the fluoride, they take it out of the salt. Sell it to chemical companies. And then they give us the junk. And that is truly what we are eating. And that's why they say, don't take that stuff. Praise the Lord. Something for somebody, something for anybody. I didn't know this until we started a Bible series. One of the questions that came out of it, we were at the Bible, says, what ingredient does, what did God command that they should put into every sacrifice? Everything. Salt was a commonality. So what I'm saying to us is this. This salt that you and I are taking right now is not in its original state. It's not a sea salt. And gradually you start noticing when you and I go to the store, it's interesting. You say health foods. Well, what's the other stuff there? No, think about it. They say health food. So the rest of the stuff is what? Junk. Junk. I started noticing, because we have anointed cashew. I started noticing on the container, it said sea salt. About 4 or 5 months ago, I was asking my daughter, she bought this thing, sea salt. I said, what is it about sea salt? She said, I don't know. I just bought it. So if we take this salt the way the good Lord, desires us to take it, a lot of the ailments and stuff that happened to us. I'm not saying it's just one isolated thing. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the covenant of salt. I'm talking about the salt you and I are taking today. It's junk. Period. I remember one day a sister called me from Nigeria. She said, could you please get me iodized salt? Because she had some, I think, goiter problems. And she said she was low in iodine or something like that. Okay. So I had to go to the store. You buy this little thing of iodized salt. to send to our suicide taking it. It's not until I started looking to this. The salt in its natural state, sea salt, has all these things in it already. The trace elements that make things good happen in our body. So now they say you are deficient in this. They say, okay, go and buy a tablet of this. Which now, they took it out of that salt. Now they are selling it to us. I'm not saying that's the only thing that get my drift. It's not the only thing. But may the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord, through this little insights and knowledge. And it doesn't matter. Look, when the Lord comes onto the scene, whether you have cancer caused by lack of this or lack of that, whether situations beyond your control, you didn't know, the mercies of God endure forever. Praise you, the Lord. In a split second, by the spoken word, the cancer will soon disappear. The lame walk. The heart is restored. Praise ye the Lord. This is just knowledge for us to know. This is the truth. Nothing but the truth. Praise ye the Lord. A lab, analytical lab in, I think, France, when I was doing this research, showed a lot of the chemicals and stuff. Potassium, manganese, copper, calcium, this and that. But all that stuff is taken out of our salt that we are eating today. And so we begin to get, we lack this and we lack that, and then our body begins to look for this and look for that. Praise the Lord. Here is the truth. Amen. Jesus, do you know that your body and my body, we have one commonality between us? Your blood has water and has salt in it, among other things. Praise the Lord. Salt and water. You can taste the salt in the blood. Every time you and I are at the table eating whatever, a symbol of the covenant you have with God in the eating of the food, the salt, even when it doesn't have salt in it. Now God commands you and I to go and be the salt to everyone around you. To go and be his voice, to go and be his arms, his legs to everyone around us. Every time you take a meal and you taste that salt, it's a covenant he has, and he will not break it. Praise the Lord. So let us reach out and touch and be a light, so that we do not be thrown on the ground and say, hey, it's of no good. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Ye are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. We take the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as his communion and all that. That's what he commanded us to do. Also remember, every time you eat a meal, you have a covenant of salt with you. And Jesus, all our pain, he tasted death at the cross. He got thirsty so that we do not have to be thirsty. Will you touch somebody? Will you be a light? Peradventure, say, man, I have no idea about this Jesus we are talking about. He came to bear our sin. He came to bear our reproach. He said, cursed is he that's nailed to the cross. He was nailed to the cross so you and I do not have to go to the cross.
So as we saw in 2 Corinthians, when the war went on between Israel and Judah, let's just finish reading that as I round up. Between Israel and Judah, 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry. Chronicles 3, 15. The men of Israel and Judah was hemmed in the ratio of 2-1. And there was an ambush, both in the front and in the rear. Verse 13. Say, but Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come out behind them. So they were before Judah, and their ambushment was behind Judah. So Judah was hemmed in both front and rear. There was no escape. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hands. First, the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. And scripture says Jehovah couldn't and didn't recover, because I will see this over and over. When we call upon the name of the Lord, He's more than able to deliver unto the uttermost. Can someone say amen? He's more than able to deliver unto the uttermost. Let us stand up. Praise you, the Lord. If you're here this morning, whether you know it or not, the Lord has a covenant with you of life, of peace, of joy, health and happiness. If you come on to the winning side of Jesus. If you say, hey, I've been a Christian for so long, my life doesn't match up. It doesn't matter where you are being. It only matters where you are going. Christ has paid the price. It's not what you have done or what you didn't do. It's because of the price that He paid. Praise ye the Lord. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. This is an opportunity for those of us who have not tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Who have not tasted of this covenant. Every time you're eating your meal, remember, He has a covenant with you. If you have not given your life to Christ, here's an opportunity for you to accept Jesus into your life. And peradventure, you say, yeah, I gave my life to Christ. I don't know. If the trumpet you sound today, would you be in the number? Are you sure? Are you confident that you know? Without a doubt. They hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. If you are not confident, if you are not sure, it's that simple. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Praise you, the Lord. It's very simple. Sometimes men try to make it complicated. Try to say, you got to count these so many rosaries and so many rocks, put these so many candles around here. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing. Nothing to do with anything like that. Just come to Him, just the way you are. Reminds me of that song. Just as I am, without one plea,
And as thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. If that's you today, you don't know the Savior Jesus Christ. He said, if you confess me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. If you deny me, I will deny you. It's that simple. If you're here, you have not accepted Christ as your Savior. Each time you're eating a meal, putting the salt in there, this is a testimony against you or before you. The covenant of salt. Raise your hand up. If you have not given your life to Christ, you are not sure. Raise your hand up. And come up here. Let's pray together. Come on up, brother. Come up, sister. If that is you, you are not sure that Christ is your Savior. Praise the Lord. And if you are sure, then there's rejoicing in heaven. We're going to have a party over there. Absolutely. Because there's no crying over there. It's a big party over there. Praise the Lord. And if you have known Him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus, and you are not being living, you are not living for Him, you are not witnessing for Him, nobody even knows who you are at work. You are just what my pastor calls under the radar. Don't be under the radar. If you lack of making a decision, you have already decided already. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word that you've shared with us today, Lord. Bless all that have heard at the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus Christ. Let this word not stand against any one of us. Both the preacher and the hearers, in the name of Jesus. Help us to stand strong for you now through eternity, no matter what comes, in the name of Jesus. Say, what does he have profited, man, if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Nothing. Profits you nothing. Thank you, Father, Lord. We give you all the honor, all the glory, all majesty, dominion, power, and might. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask the praise team to just come up, help me out with this song. All the glory belongs to you, O Lord. All the glory belongs to you. You have a mountain. As we are, if you have anything you want to bless the house of the Lord with, here's an opportunity. All glory belongs to Jesus. Whatever we are, whatever we hope to be, all glory. If there should be a trophy, an accolade, a plaque, let's turn it over to Him. Praise the Lord. If you have anything you want to give in this time of Thanksgiving, let me just read a scripture to us. Numbers. Numbers, I think it's Numbers 38. Actually, rolling out the year, this will be your testimony in Jesus' name. Moses and the Midianites had gone to battle, and he came to report back to Moses.
how everything went in fighting the Midianites. Verse 48, and the officers, which were over thousands of the host, the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds, came near to Moses. And they said unto Moses, thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war, which are under our charge, who went to war, and there lacketh not one man of us. In other words, not a single man did we lose in this battle. In the name of Jesus. Not a single, by the special might of grace of Jesus, we have not lost a one of us. You have not lost your family. You have not lost your son. And you will not lose them in the name of Jesus. They will be rejoicing in your house and in the camp. In the name of Jesus. As the year runs out to an end, it will be only good news. We'll hear concerning you. Death will not come your way in Jesus' name. You say 1,000 will fall on your right. Say amen if you believe it. 10,000 on your left. It will not come near your dwelling place. You know, around this time, death roams around. Misery roams around. And does not company. But not roam around your house. You not roam around your habitation. In the name of Jesus. You go out and you come in. In the name of Jesus. And you see green pastures. Is somebody with me? Can I say amen? That was the report. He said, we lost not one man. And we will not lose any. We will not bury you. In the name of Jesus. Not your children. Because the light of life abides here. Because you have a covenant with the King Jesus. Our giving is an integral part of our worship here. Feel free. All the glory belongs to Jesus. All the glory belongs to Jesus. Take it on, bro.